Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, this is God's word. "He got up and departed from there to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, but he could not escape notice. Instead, immediately after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she was asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, 'Let the children be fed first, because it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she replied to him, 'Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' Then he told her, 'Because of this reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.' When she went back to her home, she found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Again, leaving the region of Tyre, he went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty speaking and begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. So he took him away from the crowd in private. After putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' Immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. He ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. They were extremely astonished and said, 'He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We see several things happening here. One is that Jesus' fame is continuing to spread. More and more and more people are finding out about Jesus, and they're drawn to him. They want not only to see the miracles, they want to receive miracles. As we've said before, everybody has problems. And so as these folks are drawn to Jesus, it is not just for watching. There is tremendous need. But Jesus is focused on doing what he came for. He's come to proclaim the kingdom to the Jews. He knows he'll be rejected. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to rise again. And he knows that the gospel will eventually be preached to the Gentile nations as well. But Jesus is doing things in obedience to the Father. And as a result, in this opening section, Jesus says and does something that we would find quite politically incorrect, culturally offensive to us. First of all, please recognize this woman who's asking Jesus to do something is a Gentile. So are virtually all of us, okay? In other words, she's one of our people. She's a non-Jew. There were two groups of people, Jews and everybody else. Everybody else is a Gentile, a non-Jew. So when she comes and she's asking Jesus to do something, he says, It wouldn't be right to take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs. Ouch! The term he uses, dog, was a derogatory term used by the Jews to refer to the Gentiles. It was not a polite term. It was not the way that I would want my child to speak. For Jesus to say this was not offensive to the Jews, and it was, unfortunately, from our perspective, something that the Gentiles would be used to. But it was definitely off-putting. It was not a term of endearment. He refers to the Gentiles as dogs. He refers to this woman as being like a dog. That's offensive to us. And it could have been to her. But instead of taking offense, instead of saying, well, forget you. I'm not going to be treated like this. How dare you speak to me that way? I came to you for help, and you call me a dog? You make something of the fact that I'm a Gentile? I can't help the fact I'm a Gentile. I was born a Gentile, okay? But why would you treat me like that? She doesn't say that. She doesn't do that. Instead, she embraces what Jesus has said. You call me a dog? Okay. Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. When she says that, Jesus says something in response. And that is, for such an answer, your daughter has been delivered. Jesus didn't have to go to where the daughter was. Jesus didn't say, okay, let me recite a little incantation here to cast the demon out. Jesus knew and declared the healing has taken place. And Jesus ties the response of God, if you will, to the response of the woman. Her faith, unwilling to be deterred, her determination, she wanted her daughter delivered. She wanted her daughter made well. And so instead of turning away, she persevered, and God liked that. Jesus will tell stories during his ministry about, for example, a woman who goes to see a judge begging for justice, and the judge is not a good judge. And he is not responsive to the needs of people. But Jesus says, but because she continues, because she perseveres, asking, 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 petitioning the court, pleading with the judge says, okay, and grants her request. Jesus says, if a bad judge will do that, how much more will your Heavenly Father do that? Because God is not an unjust judge. He is a merciful judge. Jesus tells a story about a man who goes to his neighbor in the middle of the night. And he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the man responds, I'm already in bed with my family. Back then they didn't have lots of rooms. People were not as affluent as Americans are today. And so everybody was just kind of in the bed. They'd all bedded down for the night. And he says, I can't do it. We're down for the night. But his neighbor, who came to him asking for bread, continues to plead. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He will not do it out of kindness. He'll do it because of the man's importunity. He keeps on knocking. And Jesus says to us, you need to keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking. God wants that from us. Not because God is unfair, not because God is unkind, but because it cultivates something in us that is needed. We need to learn to persevere. A lot of us just tend to give up. We try something, and if we don't get what we want, well, that's that. I tried that. You will never accomplish anything of significance if that's the way you live your life. You will never accomplish anything of significance if you just give up when things don't go your way.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out his This woman came and she asked Jesus to heal her daughter. What was wrong with her daughter? Her daughter had an unclean spirit. Is all sickness caused by demons? No, definitely not. Is some sickness caused by demons? Definitely yes. The Bible says so. So how do you know whether a particular sickness is caused by demons or not? You don't always. But in this case, they knew. In this case, they were aware. And this woman, this Gentile woman, recognized that her daughter was suffering because of an unclean spirit. So when she came to Jesus, she was asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Okay? She wasn't denying the problem. She was pleading for Jesus to do something about it. And she didn't give up when Jesus said, not now. Please do notice that Jesus didn't say, I'm never going to do anything for you. I'm never going to do anything for Gentiles. Jesus said, let the children be fed first, because it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus wasn't saying, there's no hope for you or your daughter. I only do miracles for Jews. Jesus was saying, you are not the priority right now. Can you handle that? Can you handle that if God says to you, you're going to have to wait? Not saying you won't get help, but this is not the time. Let me tell you, some of us are going to wait a lifetime to see some of our prayers answered. They'll be answered in eternity. We won't have the problems in eternity that we have here and now. When I'm in heaven, I'm not going to have any health problems whatsoever. Okay? Sometimes the problems that we have, we're going to have to wait to see those things fixed. But it doesn't mean they're not going to get taken care of. And Jesus tells this woman, there are other things that need to happen first. There are other priorities. You're not at the top of the list. And this woman responded to Jesus' off-putting statement with faith and perseverance. And you and I need to pray with faith and perseverance. And we need to live with faith and perseverance. If your attitude in life is, well, it's probably not going to work out. Well, there's really not much point in trying. Well, things never go well for me. Well, you know, I might as well just hang it up. I'm probably ought to do something else. You're not going to get anywhere. This woman models something that pleased God, and that was faith and perseverance. So then after leaving the region of Tyre, he went up by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the region of the Decapolis, which is the region of 10 towns. And they brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty speaking and begged Jesus to lay his hands on him. Okay, so the man's deaf, and the man has trouble speaking. There seems to also be some sort of problem with his tongue. Jesus is going to deal with both. Verse 33, he took him away from the crowd in private. Jesus did not want this to be a spectacle. Again, Jesus was having trouble finding solitude, and he was having trouble being able to do the things that he wanted to do because the crowds kept thronging to him. When he takes this man away in private, he obviously has some witnesses. Some of the disciples are there because the detail that's recorded here is obviously an eyewitness account. After putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. Is that a cool miracle? Okay. How many people in the scriptures did Jesus heal using this method? I think we ought to get this method down. You put your fingers in the man's ears, you spit, and then you take hold of his tongue, and then you give a deep sigh, and then you look up to heaven and say, "Be opened." Okay? That's the method. That's the way. If you have somebody who's deaf and has trouble speaking, this is what you do. Right? Because this is what Jesus did apparently every time. No? No? No, this is it. This is unique. Jesus took him in private, did these things, and he was instantly healed. But Jesus healed other people in other ways. He put mud on a blind man's eyes and said, "Go dip in the water." Told him where to go dip in the water. He simply spoke a command, and others were healed. Other people simply touched the edge of his garment, and they were healed. So Jesus didn't always do the same thing in order to heal somebody, because it wasn't about the method. It was about the master. He healed people doing the Father's will. It was miraculous. It wasn't a technique. It was authority. And that's what makes it all the more surprising. That whereas the demons obeyed Jesus, look at what happens here. He ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. Is that troublesome? If you're grateful to somebody for something, try doing what they want, not what you think is best. Some years ago, I knew a married couple who had some communication issues in their relationship. And they really did care about each other, and they wanted to do things for each other. But unfortunately, their tastes were different, and they gave gifts according to their own taste. So, for instance, she had trouble keeping the checkbook straight. And he was a guy who loved math and loved technology. So he got her a small electronic calculator with her name engraved on the back and gave it to her as a present. Because he's thinking, what can help her with this frustrating task that she finds so difficult keeping up with the checkbook? Oh, I'm going to give her this gift. And he gave her her name engraved on a calculator, and she did not appreciate it. She, on the other hand, liked nice clothes. And so what do you suppose she gave him for his birthday? She bought him clothes. Clothes that she would like to wear. Well, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was almost. Clothes that she would wear if she was a man. How's that? Okay? Now, I had the privilege of knowing these folks well, and from time to time they would ask me for advice. And so I tried to explain to them, you need to buy her not something you would like, you need to buy her something that she would like. And if you're not sure what she would like, start paying attention to what she likes. And you need to buy him things that he would like, and perhaps what he'd really like is for you not to buy anything for a week. If you want to do something for somebody else, try doing something that they would appreciate, not... Oh, let me see if I can explain this. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These folks thought they were doing that, but they weren't. She was buying him stuff she would like. He was buying her stuff he would like. That's not doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you, because you don't want people to do that to you and buy something they'd like. You want them to buy something you'd like. Do you see how it can get twisted very easily so that you're thinking, well, I know what I'd like. I'd like this, so I'll do that for them. But if that's not what they'd like, then it would be like if they gave you something that you don't like. Well, that's no good. How many of you in this room have ever been given something that you didn't like? What do you say? Thank you. Okay? Thank you. And you can mean that very sincerely. You appreciate the fact that somebody wanted to do something for you. You just wish they had your taste. Right? Jesus said, having healed this man, don't tell anybody. Now, do you suppose he was grateful for being healed? He's been deaf and unable to speak clearly. Jesus has just made him well. He is now completely healed. Of course he's grateful. So he wants to go tell everybody about what's happened. And Jesus says, do not do that. If you're grateful for what Jesus did and he says, be quiet, what should you do? Be quiet. But I want everybody to know. But Jesus said no. Jesus said, not right now. Jesus said, be quiet. Please understand this. Our job is not to go out and do something great for God. Our job is to obey. Don't try and figure out what you can do in order to repay God. You can't. Go to his word, see what he says, and obey him. Now, despite the fact that they were disobeying Jesus, they were very, very enthusiastic. Verse 37, they were extremely astonished and said, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So it wasn't that they didn't like Jesus. It wasn't that they weren't favorably impressed. It's just that they didn't obey him. The more he ordered them not to tell, the more they told. That's what it says. Folks, what is God asking of you this day? What does God want you to do? You don't have to make it up. Go to his word. There are a lot of things that are in there for all of us. You don't have to get a special telegram from God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Or giving thanks in all things. That's a command for all of us. Do everything without grumbling or complaining. That's a command for all of us. And so we need to focus on being obedient to what we know. And if we'll do that, the Lord will be glorified and pleased.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.